message today, Lord, I just pray that your words would ring through me, Lord. They would come forth. I pray that I would be able to get out of the way. Lord, I thank you for this passage, which is challenging. Lord, which for some at some times has been controversial. Lord, I don't think it is. I think it's clear. But Lord, I just pray that as we come to your word today, that the truth of your word would be clear and that we would be changed because we understand, we receive, and we live out the truth of your word. So bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faith and deeds. Faith and deeds. What's important? Some people say, you know what? Faith is what matters. Other people, I have some friends who they say, faith is good, but deeds are what's really most important. And so often in the church and throughout history, we've tried to take scripture like we're going to go through today, and we've tried to separate faith and deeds and almost put them in two separate columns and say we choose one or we choose the other. And I don't believe that is at all what God's word is saying. James 2, starting in verse 14, starts like this. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? And then it asks a question, which you can tell by the way the question is being asked what the answer is supposed to be, right? It says, I'll start at the beginning again. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? So the question is, let me actually start out by this. When we read this scripture, as you hear this, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? What comes to your mind? What is that saying? I want to hear from you. What is it saying? What's that? It's implying that it can't. What else? What is that faith all about? What's it based on? Faith in what? You hear a lot of people on a lot of TV shows say, you've got to have faith. And then they define a little bit more in yourself. You've got to have faith in doing good. Faith in what is important? What else? Yeah. What? It says it right, the can such faith save him? Can faith without deeds save you? And it's interesting because I'm a person who's all about the grace of God, all about by faith we are justified. And there is, we know from Romans, we know from Galatians, we know from so many books in the Bible that it's not about what I do that gets me, I'm good enough. I've earned my points. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I've made the cut. And so now because I've been just good enough, now in my deeds, now I get into heaven. This scripture is not saying that it's not about faith. And we'll get there more and more as the day goes on. But what is truly inside a person in faith comes out. And we get to see more and more what's on the inside of a person by what comes out of the person. If a person says they are a Christian, but there is no action to show it, is that person saved? I have a friend that I was talking with, and I knew his life. And it was pretty rough. It was pretty rough. But as he talked about himself, he would always kind of around me refer to himself and speak Christianese around me and refer to himself as a Christian or talk about God in my presence because he knew I was a Christian. And I remembered thinking, well, he knows how to speak the language. He knows Christianese. But I also know his heart, and I know he hasn't made a decision. And so I asked him one time, I said, So Jonathan, I said, why? You talk about Jesus personally. Have you made a decision to follow him? And he said, well, I'm a Christian. Are you questioning whether I'm a Christian? I said, yeah. I said, well, why are you a Christian? Have you made that decision to follow him? He goes, well, you know, I'm not an extreme Christian. It's, you know, but I believe in a God, and it's, you know, I'm okay with it being the God of the Bible or something else. But no, I have faith. And it broke my heart when I said, brother, pray to God, see if that's real. Because I'm not here to judge your faith, but I want to encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as the one who did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Verse 16, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is what? Is dead. Is dead. So now you can see why some people have taken the scripture and started to say, well, you know what? It's about what we do. And a lot of people have taken scriptures like this one and others like this and said it's about what we do that gets us into the kingdom of heaven. But we've got to be really, really careful, because what I see it saying is real faith costs. It costs. Guess what happened to me when I became a Christian? I no longer was the Lord of my life, or thought of myself as the Lord of my life, or lived as though I was the Lord of my life. I willingly took myself off the throne, and Christ I worshiped where he belonged, with him on the throne. As we have a whole... It's very easy in this world to have such good intentions, but good intentions aren't enough. And faith isn't something like at the New Year, when you make a New Year's resolution. Okay, I'm gonna do these things, and I feel good about the resolution that I made. Well, if I feel good about the resolution that I made, and I made a decision to, but then I don't follow through and do what I decided to do on the first, what good is it? If I just said, you know what, I'm going to get in shape, and then 3 months have gone by, I'm still eating the same way, I'm not exercising, what good has that resolution, that decision made me, done for me? Faith is real faith is making a decision that's followed by what we do. We have to be careful not to put the cart before the horse and say it's about what we do that establishes faith. But when true faith takes place, we're changed on the inside. And because we're changed on the inside, what comes out of our lives, it's different. It's different. And we take pleasure in different things. We take pleasure in honoring God and doing what he says. And it's interesting what it says here. It says in verse 15, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well. Go, I wish you well. That was a common Jewish saying. And it was like saying, go and I hope someone else takes care of you. When it's used in the passive. Go, I hope somebody else steps up. Christians can feel good, and people who are trying to be good can feel good about being convicted. My hope and prayer is that at the end of the message today, and at the end of every message, you guys don't feel convicted and go home and do nothing. Because if that takes place, what's it for? But my hope and prayer is that we come, we hear the word of God, and God speaks to our souls. And And something inside of us, God himself in us, is quickened. And our spirit is quickened. And now when we start to do what we used to do, now something inside of us is repulsed. Something inside of us changes, and we no longer take pleasure in doing the things that bring dishonor to God. And now those things, have you ever eaten a food and had a bad aftertaste? Yeah, when you eat something and it doesn't sit well, or it has that aftertaste, Sometimes when you, as time goes on and you just can't get rid of that taste, my hope and prayer is that sin would have that effect on us, that we would, as we sin, be something in our spirit that would say, yeah, ah. Rather than being, hey, that's okay, it's all good. With Christ in us, with our new identity in Christ, now as we sin, now something happens and there's that aftertaste of sin, and it's not good. And we don't want that to keep continuing. Verse 17 there, in the same way, by itself, it is not accompanied. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Guys, this scripture is not comparing faith and works. It's not putting faith on one side and works on the other. It's putting a living faith, a faith in action on one side and a dead faith on the other. So on one side, you've got a living faith. On the other side, you've got a dead faith. And that's what the argument is here. Is it's faith that is real faith changes us from the inside out, gives us a new identity. And with that new identity, man, things change. Our hearts and minds change. Verse 18, but some of you will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. It's a pretty big statement. Your actions show your faith. I will show you my faith by what I do. Someone should be able to look at our lives. And when they look at our lives, they'll know that we have faith. Now, guys, I'm not talking about because you have a fish on the back of your car. Oh, they're a Christian. No, if nobody ever sees the fish on the back of your car, if nobody sees the Bible in your hand, if nobody hears you claim, I'm a Christian, if nobody has anything to base who you are except for what they've seen you do, how they've seen you treat other people, how they've seen you live in everyday life. If somebody has seen you day after day and they've been watching you and they say, something's different about that person. And if we're transformed, there should be a wake of people behind us saying, man, they didn't respond the same way I respond. And it's not just being nice. Guys, I'm thinking of one friend, Steve, of mine. He's the nicest guy I know. He's so nice. He's not a Christian yet. We're talking to him a lot. Every time he and his wife and Julie and I get together, they're asking us about our faith. We don't even have to bring things up every time they're asking us questions. And I believe one day he and his wife will get there. What would break my heart is if I spent a lot of time with somebody and there was nothing inside of them that was drawn to Christ in me. So what we're called to is the kind of faith that is different than what the world sees. And James is pretty straightforward. I'll show you my faith by what I do. So you know, if what's the difference between a nice person and a godly person? Big difference. What is it? One has Jesus and one doesn't. That's the only difference, is Christ in us. And so we're called to live. And here's the wisdom of the world. And we'll get into this. It says in verse 19, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Even the demons. So, man, we can get lost in right theology. Guys, think about that. I love how it says it here. You believe that there is one God. What is significant about the one God there? What that is, it's referring to Deuteronomy 5:6. The great Shema, the hero Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And this scripture is going back, James is going back. And why is he going back here? Who was James writing to? He was writing to the Jews, the 12 tribes that were scattered. And so he's writing to the Jewish people, and he's speaking their language, and he's going back to Deuteronomy 6:5. And he's saying, "Hear, O Israel," and as soon as he says this scripture, "You believe that there is one God, good, one God." And here's all these years of theology, all these years of teaching of one God. It's different than what the world believed. But what James is saying is, guys, the right understanding about God, you're as holy as a demon if you've got just that. If you've got intellectual understanding, you're as holy as a demon. Congratulations. It's worth that much. Now, this is shocking to the Jewish people, because what are they doing? They are living, they've got all these rules. They're trying to do all the right things, and it's all about this religious belief, and they're trying to go through the motions and be good enough. And James is saying to them, you're not. You've graduated to demon status. Congratulations. Right theology, right understanding of the head is not enough to save. Guys, you get how important this is, because it's the difference between believing a lie and believing the truth. You can believe a lie with down to your toes till they start tingling. But if what you believe is a lie, what is it of value? What is it of value? You believe that there is one God, good, even the demons believe that and shudder. Intellectual belief is not enough. And here it is. Accurate theology doesn't necessarily save. Guys, did you hear that? Right theology doesn't necessarily save if it's just intellectual. Let's continue on. Just in case there's any question of whether I'm getting on the wrong track, I think the next verse kind of sets us in the right path again. You foolish man. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. All the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Now, that's not saying by what he does, not by faith alone. It's by a life-giving faith which produces deeds rather than a belief in something. Or a intellectual understanding of God. Guys, something has to happen to where our understanding of God goes from I know about God to I know God and I'm known by God. Think about when you come in here. You know what one of the special things about being here is we have people who know us. We have people who know our good, our bad, who know our warts and love us anyway. That's family. Guess what? That's family, guys. We get to love on each other even though none of us are perfect. We get to show grace. We get to show kindness to each other. Abraham was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son on the altar. You see that faith in it. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, that person is justified by what he does, not by faith alone. Why does James choose Abraham here? Who's he speaking to once again? The Jewish people. So he's going to start with guns a-blazing, and he goes back to the father of faith. He goes back to the big dog. He goes back to the guy that this is it. Everybody, every Jewish person has in common Abraham. You want to bring people together? Talk about Abraham. That just brings the whole crowd together, all the Jewish people together. Father Abraham. And James is writing to the 12 tribes of Israel, to all the people who were scattered. And he says, remember when Abraham was going to go sacrifice his son. Abraham had to wait a long time to have children, didn't he? Have you ever had to be patient and pray and pray and pray? And then you go through those times of, God, do you hear my prayer? And you pray and you pray and you pray, and years go by. And decades go by, and you keep praying, and you, God, where are you? Seriously, I've been praying about this for decades. And then Abraham starts to do what we tend to do in those situations. We start to take matters a little bit into our own hands, and, well, God just needs a helping hand. And so, you know, I'm going to have this woman come in, and she's going to be a pinch hitter for us. And you start trying to figure out ways to just give God the help he needs to answer your prayer in your way and in your time. Because, after all, who's the one who wants to be worshiped here? Right? And I love how it uses a scripture. It says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It goes back to scripture from Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God and God credited to him as righteousness. By faith, that's before circumcision. That's before all the things that a Jewish person has to do. Abraham received, trusted God. Way before Isaac. And so he came to what? Faith. A faith that saves. He came to faith in God. And then when it's time for his faith to be tested and shown for what it is, here it comes. And he doesn't, does he struggle along the way? Does he have bumps? Yeah, he tries to help God out. He struggles. He's not perfect. But he comes to that place of saying, you know what? The sacrifice has to be made. And God is telling him to sacrifice his son. The son that he was impatient for and tried to help him out with. And the answer to all his prayers. Guys, 7 years Julie and I tried to have children. 7 painful years. I can't tell you. The nights in tears, the times where Julie didn't ovulate, and she felt so guilty. And I just remember that guilt that she had that was not of the Lord. It was this guilt that was from the enemy that was trying to put the burden on her. Rather than saying, God is going to provide. God has a way, a better way for you. Has something special for you. Remember, It was about year five that, year five of our marriage, that we started. Year three, we had a bad 3 months because that's when we first learned about this. And that's where the honeymoon officially ended. And then a few years later, after praying and praying and not seeing God answer, there was a slight, not a big division, but there was an edge. You know what I mean in a marriage? For those of you who've been married or are married, that kind of can get in there. And just a wrong rubbing. And I remember that pain of trying to find out, God, what is your will? What is your will? And then God answered as we went to Uganda and we were able to adopt three incredible kids that you guys know. And then an extra special blessing on the way home. We think Julie's sick. She's not sick. She's pregnant. And our response, it's interesting. My response when I first found out that Julie might be pregnant was, oh, no. All those years of praying, God, please, please, please. Then I find out that she might be pregnant. My heart hurts because how are my kids going to respond to a child that doesn't look like them, that it's, what is that going to divide our family? And I had such fear of that. And then a few weeks later, after we told the kids, some of you have heard this when I've told it personally, but a few years later, he's about two and a half, three. And he's been thinking about this child coming, and he says, Dad, this is going to be our only white baby, right? My heart was heavy, and I said, yeah, buddy. And he goes, you know, we're going to need to give her a lot of extra love so she doesn't feel left out. And I was like, okay, God, the wisdom you speak through the mouths of babes, it's just like, wow, I can trust God, can't I? I don't have to figure it out here. I can trust God for these things. We don't have to control everything. We don't have to be able to set it all up in the perfect rows. We don't have to play God. God is God. God is God. And here James is using Abraham, and he's saying, listen, guys, he's telling him, Abraham, he had to sacrifice his son, and by faith he did. He lived out this very son that he'd been praying for. He goes, and God tells him to sacrifice his son, and so he goes, and he's going to kill his son. Think about the weight of that for a moment. I know that there's nothing else. We had a great time with my mom at the birthday. But you know, there's something comes over me when we're at my mom's and there's the water and there's all my brothers, all their kids, and then other family with their kids. And it's just this, when we all get together for special events like my mom's birthday, it's a swarm of children. It's just, there's so many. And they were out in the water and I kept doing the count and I kept starting with my kids, of course. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I'd go through the other kids. Okay, they're good too. Okay, my kids, good. Okay, good too. Okay. They've got to be a little responsible. Okay, Bart, here we go. Let's come on down and get near the water. Make sure your kids are okay. But there's that stress because I can't think of anything worse, anything, than either losing a wife or a child. And here is Abraham, and his prayers have been answered. And Dad, what are we doing? Dad, where's the sacrifice? Dad, what's going on? Son, trust me. I gotta follow God. And then God stops him and says, No. I've got another sacrifice for you to use. And God spares him from doing. But Abraham was willing to follow God. Guys, that is faith in action. You know, the world says be nice. God says be nice to your enemies. See, that's faith in action. Because the world, it's so easy to be nice. Most of the time. Unless somebody really makes you mad. But it's so easy to be nice. But it's not easy to be nice when it's your enemy or they've made you mad. Or they've done something that's offensive. Now the world says, you get back, you get even, you get ahead. You make them pay for coming against you. That's the wisdom of the world. That's, there's nothing different. If my life is nice and kind and good, and then somebody's mean to me, and I'm acting as the world acts. Faith in action is the kind of thing that we see when what happened with this church with 9 people being killed. They hold a Bible study and they share love and forgiveness, and you hear different people speak on the news and they're talking about grace. See, that causes ears to go, what? What do you mean that guy needs to be who killed them? And people in that church who are family to the ones who were killed. What do you mean we need to forgive? That's offensive. See, God's truth is offensive to man's ears because it doesn't make sense. He did something wrong. Let's get him. Let's get his family. Let's get even. Let's get more than even. That's the wisdom of the world. And that has nothing to do with faith. He says, remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. Back to Genesis 22. Then he continues. James 24, it says this. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. By faith in action, not just by a belief system. This doesn't contradict what Paul teaches in Romans and in so many other places. It defines it more. In context, we are justified by a living, working faith that is transformed by God. And that's why James, he's just used Abraham, right? And what's the argument for the people who are going to say, yeah, but? Well, the argument is, well, that's Abraham. He's the big dude. He's the father of faith. So he knows he's speaking to the Jewish people who lift up Abraham, who look to him. So what does he use next? What can I use as the opposite of Abraham? Well, a prostitute. Let's go to what people condemn. Let's go to what people look down on. And then he says in verse 25, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead. I love that. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So the body without the spirit is dead. Guys, what's a body without a spirit in it? A corpse. A dead corpse. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is what? Dead. So life-changing faith, a real faith has deeds. And it's not just being nice. It's being transformed by God and having a new identity in Jesus Christ. That's what changes everything. Rahab, she hid 2 spies. She had, guess what? She feared God. She feared the one true living God. And she said, you know what? What does she become to her own people? A traitor. She commits treason. She hides the spies. She commits treason. She does what should not be done in man's understanding. And she fears God more than she fears man. Guys, the reasons I think that we're so quick to settle for cheap faith in ourselves is we don't fear God. Was it say in, was it Psalms 1, 6 or 7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Guys, we have a God who is beyond anything we can comprehend. We have a God who's huge, who is all-powerful, all-knowing. This is the God that we worship, that we trust, that we walk in. It makes sense that our deeds, what we do, changes because of who he is. The one true God. Guys, if Jesus is who he says he is, everything has to change. Everything has to change. We don't get to be in charge anymore. If we have real faith, we understand. I got to get it. Now I started to uchi back up on the throne because, you know, Matthew gets in the way all the time. And I keep, it's like you know, there's these strings. It's like, keep trying to get me back up on the throne. And no, I don't belong. No, I, you know, and it's this understanding. When I come to that place and it's like, I don't belong up there. And I get that because I'm reminded once again of the greatness of God. And then humility comes pouring in. Have you ever had those times where you started believing your own press, you started being a little bit excited about what you're doing and what you've done, and then God says, whoop, humbled, and you're, God, forgive me. I got back up on the throne again. Guess what? That aftertaste, that ugh, of sin, that's showing that there's a real living faith in you. Because if it was just intellectual faith, you'd be able to sin and there wouldn't be the aftertaste. It would taste just as good as the right decision. But in Christ, when we sin, we're bringing sin into the flesh. Guess who's in our flesh when we come to Christ? Holy Spirit. God himself is in us. And now in my sin, I'm trying to bring God and sin into the same body. What happens? Civil war in the flesh. Civil war is ugly. Civil war is, man, it's destructive. And until I say, Matthew, stop. Stop. God is on the throne. God belongs in this as the head of my decision here. I want to react. I want to get angry. I want to do what man says is the best thing. No. God says, forgive. God says, love. God says, trust him. Love people. And him. Whew. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's what's best. But honestly, I don't know because I'm not God. So I'm going to trust you in this. Faith with deeds. And it's different than religion. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that James is so direct. Lord, keep us from taking this too far. Keep us in the tension of we are saved by grace through faith. That tension on one side, and faith without works is just intellectual juggling of a new kind. Lord, it's and that tension of faith that's real has deeds, but it's always been about faith that is real faith. Lord, keep us in that tension. Let us not go too far to one side and, oh, God's a God of grace. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm forgiven. I can do whatever I want. It's all good. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie from the pit of hell, Lord. Keep that in our hearts and minds. But Lord, protect us from the other side, which says, it's all about what I do. I'm good enough because I've been good enough. I've made the right decisions. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And let us not go too far that side. Let us stay in the truth. It is real faith. Faith that is real is, it produces, good trees produce what? Good fruit. Living trees produce good fruit. Father, we desire to produce good fruit. Forgive us. Forgive us for settling for the imitation so often. Forgive us for trying to get back on the throne. Forgive us for living at times in ways as though there is no God, even though we've been transformed. Father, slow us down. Lord, may we not have that critical spirit. And at the heart of that critical spirit is justifying what I do. Justifying what I think. Justifying what I feel. Lord, forgive us for that sin. It is so destructive. We desire to follow you, Lord. Show us how to follow you, Lord. Lord, we thank you as such a... Lord, we thank you for a reminder that we live in a free world right now. And that freedom comes through people taking action on their beliefs. Lord, may that be one more example to us of living out what we believe in a way that's not of our own effort, of our own strength, but of you working through us, of us daily dying to ourselves and having you live more and more through us. We desire to decrease and have you increase in our lives. That's where our joy, our peace, our pleasure, our passion comes from. Father, forgiving us for settling for counterfeit so much of the time. We desire what's real, what's good, and what's holy. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.